Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie, and coming up in a few minutes, we'll hear from a whiskey maverick, one who calls himself the Wild Scotsman. But first, let's check the news. 400 workers at the Seagram Distillery in Lawrenceburg, Indiana will be losing their jobs. Pernod Ricard USA plans to close the distillery and its bottling plant by the middle of 2008. Pernod Ricard acquired the distillery when it bought the Seagram's brands in 2001 and cites excess manufacturing capacity for the decision. That distillery has been producing whiskey for more than 150 years. On a happier note, the Spirit of Speyside Festival is this weekend in Scotland, and to mark the occasion, there's a special vatting of whiskeys from 26 different Speyside distilleries. Retired master distillers Ed Dodson of Glenmurray and Jim Cryle of the Glenlivet put that blend together.
We tried to get together as many whiskeys as we could from the Speyside area that would reflect the character of Speyside whiskeys. So Ed Dodson and I worked on this, and we had 26 different distilleries from Speyside, and we had one or two of those distilleries gave us mature whiskey from different types of casks. So you had more than just 26 individual characters to choose from. And our aim was to try and recreate the Speyside style.
And how do you think you did?
Well, time will tell. I think we did okay. I think we've got a nice representation of the different characters. You know, distilleries today are they're bottling different cask maturations and so on. So we try to reflect the sort of modern Speyside style.
2,000 miniature bottles are available at distillery visitor centers and retailers in Speyside, and a one-of-a-kind 70cl bottle is being auctioned for charity on eBay this week. Jim Cryle and Ed Dodson both signed the bottle, and there's a link to the auction page at whiskeycast.com. If you're attending the festival and need a break for dinner, the Highlander Inn in Craigellachie has a new menu that ties together three courses with Duncan Taylor bottlings of Brooklottie, Glen Grant, and Glenugie. Next Saturday is the Kentucky Derby, but if your racing tastes are more of the four-wheeled variety, NASCAR's Crown Royal 400 will be held at Richmond International Raceway that night. Diageo has signed a multi-year deal to sponsor the spring race at Richmond and will use the event to help promote its responsible drinking programs. Back to the Derby for a minute. The Mint Julep is a part of Kentucky Derby tradition, and Churchill Downs will be offering a $1,000 version of the cocktail. It's made with Woodford Reserve bourbon, mint from Morocco, South Pacific sugar, and water from the Arctic, and will be served in a gold-plated cup. The proceeds will go to a charity that cares for retired racehorses. On the next episode of Whiskey Cast, we'll get the recipe for the perfect mint julep from Woodford Reserve master distiller Chris Morris. The spring events calendar is winding down. The Kentucky Bourbon Festival Spring Sampler is April 29th in Bardstown. There's also one in Frankfort on June 17th. The Isla Festival of Malt and Music starts May 26th and runs through June 4th. In addition to the Spirit of Speyside Festival this weekend, the Whiskey School at Blaidnock Distillery in Wigtown takes place. Several years ago, Jeff Topping decided to look into his Scottish heritage and traveled from Ohio to Scotland. He wound up at the Blaidnock Whiskey School, met veteran distiller John McDougall, and became the man behind the Wild Scotsman line of independent bottlings.
It's like you're back in time. I mean, you're not back in it's not 2002 or 2006. It's more like 1940 probably when you're at Blaidnock. But when I was in the distilleries, you had the dirt floors, and you're smelling the wood, you can smell the air. There's a somewhat of a sweet staleness to the whole thing. But when you open the cask and you smell that sweet floral nose of that whiskey, And he just starts sucking it in. It's like candy. And I had that first taste. It was very oily. But it was, again, it wasn't harsh. It was cask strength whiskey, but it wasn't harsh to the taste. And that was the inspiration for my whiskey. But at the same time, when I thought about the whiskeys I had in the United States, there was none. Everything I had has been antiseptic, has been sterile. But nothing I've had that gave me that singular experience. And to me, as an American, I thought to myself, why couldn't I have that experience back in the United States? And, you know, there's a lot of reasons of manufacturing and size and distribution, but at the end of the day, I thought to myself, why not recreate that experience and bring it to the United States and do that through my own brands? And whether it's the Vatamalt, which, in my opinion, is my American, very American interpretation of what I thought the Scotch smelled and tasted like, and which I think is important because I think American tastes probably differ from tastes in the UK or Europe or wherever, and maybe it's due to the influence of the bourbon industry, the sweetness of the bourbons that are drank in this country. But to me, you know, Blaenau was this fantastic Scotch malt whiskey. And so that's pretty much the epiphany. And, you know, bringing John to the United States was the next phase. I brought John to the United States in that same year, 2002, in October, to do a whiskey tasting at Barrel House Brewing Company. And Barrel House is a craft brewing company, so I thought, what better place to have John was at a craft brewery and then bring a craft distiller. And so I brought John to Cincinnati in 2002, and he put on a phenomenal show. And we had little booths of all the different the local distillery reps for all the different companies. But everyone there was amazed at the knowledge and the history of Scotch whiskey. They've never heard any of these things. They never knew about Bessie Williams at Laphroaig. They never knew about Springbank. All these different aspects. And that bug started catching. And I told John, I said, I want to bring independent bottles to the United States. And he kind of looked at me and he's like, you know, Jeff, I don't think anybody would give you an independent bottle. So we thought about it. We discussed it. He said, why don't you become an apprentice to me? And so from there, John and I have had a symbiotic relationship. He has been teaching me the craft of Scotch whiskey, the stuff that's not put into books. As he likes to say, the blue jeans and work boots of the industry, not the lab coats and clipboards and the craft. I mean, even at the Blaenau Distillery School, you know, that Raymond had put on at the Blaenau Distillery, there's one thing that was very apparent. It was very hands-on, and everything was done with the five senses. And so John wanted to pass that knowledge on to me. And so through the creation of the Wild Scotsman, Vatamalt, I'm beginning to learn John's knowledge and craft of how he blended whiskeys for Long John International and the other companies that he had worked for. But at the same time, doing it in a traditional manner in which people can appreciate what I like to call, I wouldn't want to use a pure malt whiskey, but malt whiskey that's hasn't been treated and altered to such an extent that it's no longer natural whiskey.
Now, Raymond tells me about this experience with you at the whiskey school, about something about you trying to push a barrel up a ramp. Do you remember this?
I don't quite push a barrel up a ramp, but I imagine back in 2002, I'm sure after a couple of drams in the warehouse, I probably thought I had bar strength, and it's quite difficult to push a full cask of whiskey up a ramp, and so I'm sure I probably made it maybe quarter, halfway, and then, you just get out of the way and let the thing roll all the way back down again.
Are you having fun with this?
I'm having a huge amount of fun with this. I mean, what more? I mean, when I look at what I'm trying to accomplish of bringing the craft back to the industry, showing the consumer that there is more to a category, which I think in some instances has declining membership. I mean, everyone talks about the brown spirit category having an upward rise, but I think I see more of that in the bourbon side than I do the Scotch whiskey side. But I think the more that people experience the independent bottles, the single cast, the Vatamalts, the craft malt whiskeys, I see that people begin to take on a new passion for Scotch whiskey that they never had before. And I think that's very important because that's going to filter off into the big companies, because once people understand Scotch whiskey from a standpoint that John and I give it to them, it's going to filter off into the big companies, but they'll always remember that one quintessential experience they had with John and I, whether it's the taste of the wild Scotsman, whether it's thinking to themselves they're at Bladnock with that one single cask of Bladnock whiskey, whatever it is, as long as they drink scotch, and more matter of fact, as long as they drink good scotch, I think my job has been done.
Now, you're doing the you've done the Bladnock single cask already, right?
Yes.
And you're doing the Ben Nevis next?
Yes, I'm releasing a Ben Nevis single cask. It's at 13 years of age. And I thought I could do it at 14, but to me, 13 is an interesting age. And I've never seen a 13-year-old Scotch malt whiskey. But it's single cask. I reduce my whiskeys to 46%. I like to take the edge off it a little bit. And again, I love bourbon barrels. I think bourbon wood allows the spirit to be tasted in a more natural state. And so again, this is a Hogshead. It's cast 693. I was just out this past November, actually October in Scotland, and I saw Colin at Ben Nevis. He's a distillery manager at Ben Nevis Distillery, and I got my cask sample, and I was like, this is ready to bottle. And it was fantastic. I mean, the weather outside, it was misty, it was rainy, it was crap weather, it was Ben Nevis weather up there at Fort William near Loch Lenny. And, you know, I was very proud to tell Colin that this would be my first single cask. And I think he was quite pleased because, you know, even though Colin works for a big company like Nika, I think he does take appreciation that what John is teaching me, because as you probably already know, that Colin was an apprentice to John McDougall in his early days in the whiskey industry. So it was kind of a nice experience for me.
So it's one big happy family, really, in the entire business. But everybody knows each other.
Yes, exactly. I like to tell Americans that this is the biggest little industry I've ever been in. I mean, you can look at all these brands on the shelf, but you got a few players in the whole industry. I mean, either you have the big companies who own lots of distilleries, or you have the few scattered independent bottlers, independent distillers, who in actuality have more in common with John and I than they do with the big distilling companies themselves.
Topping is now giving others a chance to learn the way he did. He's organizing two special sessions of the Whiskey School in October at Bladnock. Details are available through the Wild Scotsman website, and there's a link at whiskeycast.com. Finally, I want to dedicate this episode to a very special man who passed away over the weekend. Don Filburn was one of those rare men who made the lives of everyone around him better. He was my wife's grandfather, and in many ways, he was a simple man who loved his family, the outdoors, and his work, and he was a success where it really counts, in the eyes of his family and his community. Farewell, Don. That's all for this edition of Whiskey Cast. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends, and consider posting comments about the show on the Whiskey Cast page in the iTunes Music Store or your favorite podcast directory. My email address for comments is comments@whiskeycast.com. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.